Welcome back to Zander and Hanley on ESPN Chicago.
Chicago's home for sports.
Zander and Hanley here until 12:30. Up against pregame, which will start at 12:30. Counting the nights, setting up the last game of the series. White Sox, Tigers at Guaranteed Rate Field. Nick from Payless Hills jumping in here on ESPN 1000. Good afternoon, Nick. Turn on your radio.
It should be.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, Nick, you there?
All right, I'll come back. Thank you.
Drive-through?
Is that drive-through? In drive-through action?
Yeah. What, Nick, what'd you order?
The next window.
Yeah. Hey, Nick, you there?
Near Portillo's? What's going on?
I think, Jake, we're going to have to put him
on
the hold.
Yeah, I dropped him.
Yeah, well, okay.
We were not as important as his food.
You know, Jake, I would have rather heard from drunk
Hey, it's lunchtime.
Drive-through Nick. Yeah. Apparently, we had a guy on hold who might have been inebriated.
It is lunchtime, Brian. If you were in the drive-through right now, what would you be ordering?
Well, it depends where I was.
What do you desire? No, I get that. I'm saying, what if it was a fantasy drive-through where you can get whatever you want? What do you have a taste for right now?
Well, I mean, if it's Chicago specific, I would, you know, like a charred cheddar dog would always be Polish. Anytime, you know, if you go into a place like Johnny's, which doesn't have a drive-through, I go obviously the beef. But yeah, it would probably be a Chicago dog. I'm not a jardinera guy. I'm Irish. I don't really, even though that's not really spicy, I'm not, you know, I'll eat it occasionally, but, yeah, usually it'd be a dog and fries. You know, I can make burgers and fries anywhere. You know, I can make burgers here on the grill, but to get all the things you put on a Chicago dog, you know, I have celery salt at home. Do you, I can put that on there.
No, see, I'm an Italian beef guy. I actually had one last night. I haven't had one in a while, so had to get myself one with the jardinera. Hotter the better.
Was this on the way back from the car show?
This was in the area. Yeah. In the area of Crystal Lake, found a place that, you know, had some, you know, the further away you get from Chicago, and you may know this, people will call their beef an Italian beef, but it's not really. So
I know.
Sometimes you have to really, really look, and I found a place, and it was a big sandwich, quite tasty. So I'm set up for a while. I try not to have too many of those. They're not exactly heart healthy, you know. So you try to do your best on the diet, and I've lost a bunch of weight this year, so I try not to do that too much. But it was very tasty, and the taste for an Italian beef.
Okay, so the other day, Mayor Lightfoot was trying to tell you what the average property tax increase would be for the average homeowner of a house in Chicago, obviously in the city, a $250,000 home. She said her $47.5 billion tax increase comes down to, she's trying to put it in layman's terms, two beef sandwiches with extra cheese and fries for a family of four. Like, you know, she's trying to say it was like less than $40. I cringed at the cheese on the thing to begin with, but extra cheese, that's not an Italian beef to me.
No. You can put some mozz on it. That's okay. It doesn't bother me. I mean, I don't care if you put ketchup on your hot dog. I'm that guy. I don't care.
Okay.
Well, but yeah, I will say What? I don't care what you put in your mouth. Why is it my business?
Whoa.
Well, I know, but the extra cheese. I mean, okay, so she lost me a cheese and then she doubled down on
the cheese. I get that. It's not something I would get. I'd put a little mozz on it. You know what? That's fine. But yeah, and let's do the calculation there. That's more than $40. If you go to a place with a good Italian beef, she's underselling. Wait, Italian beef and fries and drinks for everybody? That's more like $65, $70.
Well,
I don't think
she said drinks, but
okay.
You know, I'm an extra cheese pizza guy. Okay, fine. But like you, I've lost a lot of weight during the pandemic. You know, decided to start walking and try to get walks in every day and all that. And hand in hand with that, cut out a lot of carbs. And you know, I used to eat French fries and onion rings three times a week and all that stuff because I did. And once you start getting away from that, you don't want to fall back in those habits, even though they're very tasty habits, right?
So, yes, they are. And you just reminded me that I had, you just reminded me that I actually had fries twice this week, which is too much. So next week, none.
Yeah.
I get none.
Yeah, you can't have a cheat day. But I wanted to hear about the car show, too, because we found out, something about you yesterday that you're a big car guy, long-time car guy. How'd the show go? How did it
It's good, and I'm going to head out there this afternoon as well. But it's good. I will say this, because it's been – sun was in and out yesterday. Doesn't look like there's much sun today. So the people who have a lot of money invested in these cars – they get a little nervous when it's cloudy because they don't want their cars to get rained on. And, thankfully my situation is that I'm okay with that. There are some people, as you may know, put so much money into their hobby cars and such or whatever, where, they don't even want you to come around and breathe on the car too much. Seriously. And also they have what they call trailer queens in that they don't drive these cars. They're worth so much money. They have so many, they have low miles on them and they've got so much money invested. They don't even drive them, but for on and off the ramp of their trailer.
Uh-huh.
And they bring them to cars, the car shows. And that's not something that A, financially I would ever aspire to. And B, I've got to enjoy what I'm doing and driving is part of it. And I've talked to so many people that don't get to enjoy their cars because they've just have too much money and they're just scared of getting hit or something. So there are different levels of enjoying this hobby that that I enjoy.
Okay, so remind everyone of what kind of car you had and you're showing at the show. And do you let people climb in then if you're not
I will. I am definitely one of those people. And I actually have a podcast called Pontiac Talk. I'm really into the hobby. But I'm one of those people that I'm trying to send the message to a lot of these car show guys and gals that are a little older than me that we have to be more accessible to the younger generation, and that includes inviting the kids in the car and starting up the car, maybe even taking them for a ride, because this hobby could just kind of hit a dead end if we don't get younger people into the hobby of driving cars. And by the way, have you noticed, and you might have seen articles about this, Brian, they're not making, four-speed manual cars. So there's a whole generation of young drivers that don't even know how to drive manual cars anymore. Jake, do you know how to drive stick?
You're speaking Latin to him.
Yeah. Manual shift. Yeah.
Sorry, Jake, I was taking a call.
No, that's
sorry.
Fine.
Yeah. What did you ask?
Do you know how to drive stick manual?
I did learn right out of.
Okay, you did.
Yeah, I did learn. Well, it was in the parking lot type thing.
Okay,
but it was like a '99 Mustang. I learned on.
But there's a lot of we were just talking about as we're talking cars. There are a lot of the younger generation that will never learn how to drive stick, and that's kind of ruining the classic car, vintage car hobby, because a lot of those cars have those, as does mine. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Plan to go out there today, and I'm not scared of a few clouds. We actually have Nick was on and then he wasn't, and now he's back. He wants to talk about White Sox players and their health. Nick jumping on ESPN 1000. Hey, Nick.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Nick, were you picking up food?
Yeah, were you?
I wish I was in Portillo's getting Italian beef without cheese. By the way, too, you're right on that. Whoever said that?
I'm with you.
But I was picking up a prescription at Walgreens. Oh, but anyway, okay. Sorry about that. I was calling about just the state of the Sox and what baseball in general, with just the lack of hustle and getting injuries when you're running hard. It's just not how I grew up, and it's nuts how it's gotten to right now. It seems like anybody that runs hard, they're pulling up on their hammy, and it comes from the top too. I mean, they said early in the season, don't run hard. It's not what I know. And I think it's a bad thing for baseball. Just a comment.
It's
I
a
make.
Do not. Yeah, the DNR list, as we called it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, the DNR list. Do not run. That's not really fitting into the the dialogue about Luis Robert's recent injury. But yeah, we've seen that, and it just doesn't seem that some of these players are as durable as before. But then it comes into question the COVID years, shortened spring training, all of that. Is this, hopefully next year is a normal year And we can just get on with it. And hopefully some of these simple injuries start disappearing because these players are better conditioned moving into the regular season, Brian.
I was going to ask Nick if the script had anything to do with following the White Sox, if he needed something to,
sedative
to get you through the game or the series.
Right.
Take two of these and call me in October.
I'm glad. Well, I'm glad he didn't order an Italian beef with cheese at the pharmacy. I don't think that they would have been able to fill that prescription. 312-332-3776. We have a couple of Twitter polls to wrap up. And if you have any last minute things you want to discuss, we're talking White Sox. We were talking Bears earlier. The Roquan Smith issue is really going to be something that we're keeping an eye on this week. And,
you know where I learned how to drive stick? So my brother had a stick. Let me guess.
Cemetery.
No. I mean,
that's where I did.
Wow.
I'll tell you about it. No, you tell me first. I'll tell you my story.
Okay. So I kind of knew learning on my brother's car how to drive stick. And then I got a job for the village we were living in. Taking down trees, like diseased Dutch elms, diseased mm-hmm. trees for summer, summer job.
So you're running a chainsaw.
Well, I was the rope guy veteran guys, like the full-time guys, they would always have fun. They would cut off a huge limb to see if I would kiss the tree, if the rope would take me right into the stern of the tree, because I couldn't handle the weight. So, but then they told me to take the oversized dump truck that had the sterns of trees and take them to the dump. And I didn't have a truck license. I don't know if they asked and I didn't tell. So I'm driving this huge, I don't know how much that thing weighed. And certainly when there were like eight sterns of trees in there, it weighed, how many tons? I don't know. But one time I took a turn on Mannheim Road or somewhere, and I thought the whole thing was going over. I mean, I was yeah, I learned real quickly how to drive that truck and do it in a responsible way because it wasn't a little, two-door coupe like my brother had. It was
how many gears do you recall? Was it big enough to, be a multi-gear thing, like a big dump truck or something like that?
Oh, yeah, it was a huge dump truck. I mean, it fit full trees, sterns of trees.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it was probably an insurance company's nightmare. The liability would have been something else.
You were probably to get up to 20 miles an hour. You might have gone through three or four or five gears, right?
Yeah. And one thing about that crew, and they were great guys, but, some guys would just go up in the cherry picker and just kind of, take a look around, see who's out sunbathing. I mean, it was just like,
Of course. Those were the old days. I learned to drive stick in a late 70s Chevette in Holy Sepulchre Cemetery in Chicago Ridge. Well, we didn't roll over any graves. There are plenty of roads in there, no traffic, and, nice and easy. Drove by the old man Daly's grave as I was making the corner, learning how to downshift and all that. I grew up across the street from the cemetery, so that served me well, and that's how I learned a little four-banger Chevette. That would be a four-cylinder for
but
people.
You're right. There's a couple generations that wouldn't even know what you're talking about, let alone have ever had to go in there and try to learn how to drive.
Well, I tell you, if you're somebody who does not know how to drive stick and you have the ability to learn, maybe somebody has a car that they wouldn't mind letting you learn. It's fun. It's a driving experience. It's a skill, but you can learn it. And, it's something that you should experience. 312-332-3776.
Here's your side hustle. Driving lessons in your Grand Prix, your 69
Grand Prix. Well, I tell you, I'm not doing it with the Grand Prix. I will find a four-cylinder Chevette. For a three speed, and I'll teach you in that. How about that? All right, 312-332-3776. We're back to wrap up the polls and get you ready for a pregame. White Sox taking on the Tigers. Last game of the homestand for the White Sox and the Tigers, and then the White Sox will welcome in the Astros starting tomorrow. We'll get you into that coming back after this on ESPN 1000.
Welcome back to San Halen. Tasty licks flow. San Halen featuring Mark Zander on guitar. Brian Ryan Hanley on more guitar. Even I'm playing guitar. And vocals, too. Sam Halen on Chicago's home for rock. I mean sports. ESPN Chicago.
Xander and Hanley here till 12:30, and then the FanDuel pregame show with Connor McKnight, Len Casper, and DJ on the call here on ESPN 1000. Sox taking on the Tigers for the last game in the series, hoping for a sweep. All right, Brian, we had a couple of Twitter polls that we wanted to wrap up with our producer, Jay Cantu, spinning the dials today.
Before we do that, can I tell you, I've been doing homework on Rammstein during break.
Oh, you have been during the break. Okay.
Oh, my.
Tell me what you've learned. Oh.
Well, a couple of their songs are what you call racy, and apparently the music video, one had hardcore pornography with it.
Yes, they did. Yeah, they got. Yeah, imagine our Fred Huebner into Rammstein. All the videos he watches, singing the song Du Hast. Nine! Oh, my God. I can't imagine him at a concert.
I took 4 years of German through high school and some at Marquette. And yet, I mean, I can kind of make out some of the titles of these songs. And I don't know that I should repeat. I won't. One of them for sure. But, yeah. They're apparently very big. Their shows are great, in person shows.
They're very. They've got a lot of video, a lot of pyrotechnics. It's a true intense performance. As you see them in concert, I wouldn't mind seeing them in concert at some point. And if I do at Soldier Field, I'll make sure to take some grass home with me. But I will say that today, after the show, you should listen to Du Hast. That's their big hit.
Yeah.
Du Hast.
Yeah.
Make sure you listen to that all the way through. It's a fabulous song. It may put you to sleep. I don't know. Okay. A couple of Twitter polls here at ESPN 1000. Which is more likely, Bears sign Roquan Smith or Bears trade Roquan Smith? If you've been listening, this is a big storyline with your Chicago Bears this week. And, you know, it's my feeling that he has really kind of pushed things, you know, to a point of breaking. And I really wish he would have gotten advice, or I'm sure somebody's given him this advice. He would have paid attention to this advice to get professional representation, although it's not happening. And, you know, what does this look like, Jake?
Yeah, Twitter wants to see the Bears sign Roquan Smith at 65.1%.
So I guess the fan base isn't too upset yet about what Roquan is pulling. Although, you know, again, this has been part of his time with the Bears. This isn't the first time. And when he did pull that as a rookie, you said, Brian, as I remember, right? He did have representation at that point?
Correct. Preseason holdout.
Okay. All right. So... Well, look, I'd like to see him play. I'd like to see him happy. Will we see that this week sooner than later? Hopefully we can get that done. All right, the other poll here, Brian. How confident are you in Justin Fields compared to his draft day? More confident, as confident, less confident, draft a quarterback in 2023. Now, we could be confident and also draft a quarterback because two could be, you know, true at the same time. But how did this one turn out, Jake?
43% say as confident, and then kind of below 25% less confident.
Well, okay. I think I'm as confident, but my confidence was very high draft day because, you know, I thought finally they got it right, especially after Mitch Trubisky, whether it was Mitch's fault, more his fault, or Nagy's fault not being coached up well. I did see Mitch Trubisky was 3 of 5 with 47 yards yesterday with the Steelers, so you wish him well, but I'm glad that's in the rearview mirror no matter. I'm glad we're not – I mean, that set the franchise back 5 years, moving up get him and giving up all that you did to move up one spot.
It did. It's not to say that he won't find his place in the NFL with the Steelers, but he wasn't as advertised, and you're right, it did set us back, and we can't afford that again. We actually have JR in Kenosha wants to jump in real quick before we get out of here on the Roquan situation. Hey, JR. Hello, JR.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on. ESPN 1000. What's up, bud?
Hey. How you doing, man? I just want to say good afternoon to everybody. I want to talk about this this Bears situation, number one, because I feel like the linebacker situation is being undervalued, just like the running back situation, which they're known to be have a good history for. They should have, if you ask me, it should be Leonard Floyd should be playing for us. It should be Khalil Mack and Roquan Smith. Now they're down to Roquan Smith. If they lose him, too.
Well, yeah. Two of those players, we've moved on from. Thanks, JR, for the call. Look, the Leonard Floyd thing, I mean, to have somebody so ineffective move somewhere else and then all of a sudden turn into the player we thought he was. I mean, that's just kind of Bears luck.
Top 10 pick, right? Yeah. I mean, at least he didn't throw Kevin White in there, which was Ryan Pace's first mistake, right? So, Ryan had Leonard Floyd, God bless him, good kid. I remember being around him at Bears camp, and they were trying to put weight on him to the point where his phone would go off like every hour, and he had to eat something. It would remind him to eat something. He had to get so many calories a day. But doing just fine with the Rams, thank you very much. And Khalil, we got Brisker in return, so he looks like he could be the real deal. Time will tell.
Yeah, and Khalil's a little older. I think that was a good move. We enjoyed what he was able to do. We hope that Robert Quinn, when he plays, he will show up and make the impact that he did last year. And we hope we can straighten out this Roquan situation to have him happy and playing with the Bears this week. If we can get that done before the Seattle game, that would be great. We're hearing that they're going to try to get it done by Thursday. But we'll see. Certainly a lot of drama at Halas Hall as we get you ready for FanDuel pregame show. Connor McKnight heading into first pitch at 110, Sox versus Detroit. We've got Lance Lynn on the hill. And Brian, it's been a slice once again, and we'll say go Sox, and we'll see you next weekend. For Brian Hanley and Jake Cantu, I am Mark Zander. This is ESPN 1000.